Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Wayne, let's pretend it's Saturday night. Josh Jacobs plows into the end zone, right?
Easy.
That's the game win. Give us a little example of what that's going to sound like. Can you just give us a little taste of that, Dwayne? Come on. Just do it, right?
All right,
Josh Jacobs,
go.
3-yard touchdown run.
Packers, second and goal at the 3-yard line of Chicago. Here we go. Hand off to Jacobs, and why not? Plows up the middle, carries bodies into the end zone, and there is your dagger.
There you go. Yes. Yes.
Shut up.
That's right, Coach. Talk to him like he's Forrest Gregg, Coach. Real bitterness is back in this rivalry, and it is delightful. Perhaps more so because the Bears have won the last two in stirring fashion.
It is funny. I will say, as I said last week, in Wayne's defense, he kind of didn't want to do it.
It's true, because he knew it was in poor taste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why it's kind of half-hearted. You're in front of a studio audience.
Yeah.
And you feel like, you know, this guy just threw a quarter in me. I might as well make some music. He's just like, yeah,
it.
All right.
And you want to be a good guest and stuff, but you're a veteran. You're a made guy.
Yeah, this guy called Walter Payton's games, called Michael Jordan's games. He is not your jukebox, my good sir.
is right.
But then he allowed himself to be used as such. So I hope.
Well, he's a showman. Well, was he's an entertainer.
Yeah.
The question, is that like the high school Harry version of like what we get on radio? Was that a high school Harry question? Like, come on. Give us a call.
I feel bad for the position that Wayne was put in.
I understand. And yet I still hope he was devastated when DJ Moore scored a touchdown to go ahead. I hope Wayne was devastated, and I hear the salty tears in the gargle of his throat.
For some reason, we have Swift out there, and Enid Barry is basically kind of halfway trying to cover him.
Wow.
That's not going to work.
23-yard pass play to Swift. First down to the Green Bay, 25. Each side, one timeout left, 1:48 to go in the game. Three receivers spread to the left for Chicago. Caleb Williams in the shotgun with a set back to his left. He takes the snap. He looks. He pump fakes once. Now lost it. Left side.
No.
DJ Moore's got it. Touchdown.
Oh, no.
And the Bears take the lead with 1:43 to go.
And he wasn't just a little open. He was a lot open.
25-yard touchdown pass. And the Bears lead 30-27.
Oh, that's too bad.
Poor you.
Oh, no.
They can't even talk. This
entire second half, the Packers have been hanging on. But they do have 1:43 to go. Extra point try. Placement made. Kick is up. And it is good. A missed field goal. Missed extra point. Two of them, right? Two missed extra points for the Packers tonight.
Two missed field goals.
Missed a field goal. Missed an extra point. Okay. Wow. Chicago takes the lead 31-27. The Packers have one timeout. They have 1:43 to go. It's not over yet, folks.
You know it was, though. Wayne knew it then. He's like,
he felt it in his soul that it was over.
Absolutely. He knew. He absolutely knew it was over. And then when it was really over, sounded a little something like this.
7 seconds now to go. No timeouts for Green Bay. Packers trailing 31-27 from the 28 of Chicago. Three receivers left, two to the right. Love alone in the shotgun. The season on the line. Here's the snap. He bobbles. He picks up. He looks. He scrambles left. He still has it. Looking around. Now waits. Still looking. Time has expired. He throws left side of the end zone, and it's incomplete. Trying to get it to Golden, and the interception was dropped. And the Chicago Bears have advanced 31-27. Another gut-wrenching loss for the Packers in Chicago.
Oh, no.
My goodness.
Oh, no.
That place is
shaking. Gut-wrenching loss. 31-27, the Bears advance. Packers Radio, presented by American Family Insurance. This is the Packers Radio Network.
Life is about balancing what you need with what you want.
They go right to the break.
No.
They couldn't get to the break fast enough. They're singing the damn song. They're playing it. They're singing it.
Oh, my God. Tanny, I'm so glad that you made the editorial choice of letting both of those clips play out so that we could hear everyone sing Bear Down.
Well, you know, I got to text Ziggy and see who was doing visiting radio that day, because I think the broadcast mix was just right.
It really was.
And the crowd way up there. But that's just how loud they were. Oh, God. Is that, that's just so good.
Oh, no.
Look, I don't really have anything against Wayne. He just embodies that entire thing. That's what happens when you become the voice of a team like that. And oh, by the way, you left this place and this team. You become the voice. And then all of the pain from our past. I'm thinking about Chris Conti when I hear that.
Yeah, look, Wayne's the voice of my childhood, you know, play
Mine
by
too.
Play. Like all of us, right? We all love Wayne, but it's been a long 15 years. And Wayne understands that.
It has been.
Yes. This is a very real rivalry. And Ben stepped in and made it more real than in a long, long time, because he has genuine disgust, whether it was an act, whether it's from something down deep and personal, whatever. He's clearly bonded with ownership. I think he's got he's going to have some stock in the urinal cake packer company that George has opened.
You would think that that's the case, or maybe he's got Landon Arlington-Heights too that needs to be surveyed and looking at blueprints and whatnot.
Ben was given a chance to talk about the Packers hate, because there was F the Packers in the good, better, best.
And he, if he wanted to, he could have pulled back and be like, oh, you know, we're excited
it's
in the
just
locker
the moment.
Room.
Yeah.
He did not do that.
Ben, your F the Packers comment that you can't have to get has kind of gone viral since then. What do you make of that? And I guess how much has George McCaskey maybe given you feedback on that, maybe embraced?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, there's a rivalry that exists between these two teams, something that I fully recognize and I'm a part of. And, yeah, I mean, I don't like that team. So George and I have talked, and we're on the same page.
I don't like that team. Yeah, having had some time to think about it, I'd like to clarify. I don't like that team. And George and I are on the same page. And also, F the Packers. I hope nobody has been clutching their pearls about the F-bomb in the locker room. I hope that's not the case.
Well, you know what I think is interesting, and it's a really cool observation by you, Speaks. It seems like that goalpost has moved a little bit between Ben and DJ a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
I think maybe specifically when it is pointed at Green Bay, there is some leeway on the stuff that the Bears social team will put out there or have get out there. You know what I mean? I think there is some, it seems to be fine and no one thinks poorly of us. They actually think better of us because of how the coach responds to stuff like this.
Yeah, it's true. You're right how that has that goalpost has moved. And it feels connected to the fact that they have not had a true head coach in charge empowered to run the whole freaking building since Ditka, as we've talked about innumerable times. And today, what did you say in transition in terms of Ben Johnson's genuine disgust for the Packers? It feels like the most genuine head coach disgust for the Packers since Ditka.
Yes, yeah, since Ditka and Forrest Gregg had their feud that went on for a decade. And if you want to do a little bit of education, there's a lot of good. Big Z actually wrote a story, I want to say in 2011 for National Football Post about Ditka versus Gregg. It's a great read. I know Pompey has done stuff on it.
Big Z touched on it again in 10 Thoughts about Ditka and Forrest Gregg, because the Charles Martin thing, which gets brought up a lot and we joke about it and we play less about it, Ditka was pissed, Charles Martin doing that to Jim McMahon, because it was after the whistle. And Ditka's quote in 10 Thoughts was basically, look, sometimes your player is stupid, or sometimes they're coached that way. And in my opinion, I believe these guys were coached that way.
And
that
Charles was, Martin, I never say anything other than rest his soul, but may he rot and burn in hell. Period. New paragraph.
Those are divergent. Thoughts.
But I get it. I get it.
I totally understand kind of where you're coming from on that, Les. But it's I like that there is this, to go back to my whole idea of this being very collegial. There's some of that here where with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, there is a tremendous amount of respect between the two head coaches. You could tell that even if there was a leaning towards not liking each other, which I don't think was the case, they respect each other. And I think that Ben is like, you know what? I'm going after that guy.
Yeah. And textures say, multiple textures saying maybe Virginia, having passed, rest your soul, has opened the window for more profanity. George doesn't have to worry about not cursing in front of mom.
What I will say, I did think it was an interesting uniform choice. Because of Virginia. Because remember, they weren't going to do any of the special uniforms.
Right.
Because Virginia liked the regular uniforms. Mm-hmm. And so for them to come out in all blues, I was like, ooh, you're inviting in the karma. But
several players wore all black to the game on Saturday. Several Bears players. So many people speculated it's what you would wear to a funeral. So they were in a specific mind state on Saturday.
Man, Ben got him in a good mind state, man.
I'm glad that Caleb went back to his matcha and his one headphone earbud in and one out as he was walking into the game. That seems to be kind of – people saw that at, like, against Detroit, and they're like, Caleb, what are you doing? You're not doing the thing that you usually do where you walk in with the matcha and the headphone thing.
This organization certainly earned – the title and reputation of being a national punchline for many years before Aaron Rodgers ever said, I own you.
Yes.
But the life that took on after that happened, I think that's a lot of this has been bubbling for, what was that, 5 years ago? For like 5 years within the organization. And I think now it's finally coming out. There's a few guys that are still on this team that were on that team then. Jalen, one of those guys. Like, there's people that remember that.
Yeah.
You know?
And the whole family feels this way. The way that George does. A lot of them feel that way. I've been getting incredible texts to go along with your calls about your experience during the game. One texter says, I thought I was a Bears fan, but these callers are crazy. The dude who was out there, like, watching outside so we could feel the weather conditions. The guy who cut the rope on his neighbor's flag and took the Bears flag away from him. And I was talking to a guy today, a friend of mine, who was playing poker with, like, 15 people in a condo. There was, like, two tables playing poker, watching the game, and as McManus was lined up for one of the field goals,
Chauncey Billups came over to you and was like, hey, you want to get a little action on this?
That, it did not happen as far as I know, but he said they all got up and they're like, miss it, come on, miss it. And then he missed it. And they were all like, we did that. Yeah, we did that. Like, those kind of collective weird vibes going on all over town.
While we're in the middle of talking about bad special teams, I'd like to talk about good special teams for a second. HT's unit.
Yeah.
Cairo Santos, and I can't wait to talk to Pat about this at some point. Cairo Santos has been tinkering with
the dirty kick,
which I now call the dirty Santos. He's been tinkering with it all season long, and I think that he's gotten more comfortable trying it. Devin Duvernay was a game changer. His returns made a huge difference.
Yeah, they did.
In the game. And it's one of those things where you look in the box score and you see, like, Cairo made his kicks, and then you compare it to McManus.
7 points McManus cost him.
He owed him 7 points. And to me, the missed extra point.
It's massive.
That to me was like, oh, and the Bears were like, the door is open, sir.
Because not only is it open, but the door.
Now the math is all messed up.
Oh, man. Green Bay's not driving for three to tie it and send it to OT. They got to go get a touchdown. Absolutely. I'll give you one more special teams play. Elijah Hicks with an exquisite Peanut punch to force the fumble on Josh Jacobs, who's on the return team.
In front of Peanut.
Yeah, in front of Peanut is right. But, like, the Bears didn't get that. They didn't get the bounce on that one. They didn't get the bounce on Christian Watson fumbling into the end zone. And they didn't get a single turnover. And they ran for under 100 yards. And they still won this game. It's amazing.
It's wild. But to get back to your point about the rivalry and it being encapsulated through Ben, like, it's Bears fans finally have like an avatar, you know, at the coaching spot. Like, Olin was that for a long time. Like, Olin was the guy that would be like, look, if no one else is going to step out in front, mm-hmm. I'll step out in front. I want to punch Aaron Rodgers in the face.
Yeah.
I'll be the one that'll set the tone for this. But to have that tone be set by your head coach and have him feel it. Like, I think about the way that the guys celebrated, the way they celebrated the second game that they won, and them on the prime desk. Caleb having as much fun as you have ever seen him have.
That look on his face, I giggle every single time.
Him sticking out his tongue while he's grating the cheese.
That is incredible. Incredible.
And just sitting up there, and you could see that Colston was like, am I allowed to?
Are we allowed to do this?
Am I allowed to have fun with this?
Did you hear Richard Sherman just like, I like y'all. Like, just genuinely like, huh, I like y'all. Yeah, they're having a damn good time. It's amazing. We've got cheese in here thanks to Rinaldi's. Gave us some white cheddar.
Your Zen cheese grating, yeah, that you're doing?
I'm doing some mild slicing.
Thank God that we've gotten this fixed, because earlier it was a disaster with you and the actual cheese grater.
That's exquisite. Alex, you want some? Come on in and grab yourself some white cheddar.
I'm good.
You did have the chicken parm sandwich that they dropped by, though.
I have had Rinaldi's 5 days in a row.
Good for you.
That's good. You're starting the new year.
It is the playoffs. I am chicken tenders every single day.
You're meal prepping
much.
With Rinaldi's. Yep. I love that plan for you.
I like that idea.
The only thing that Matt from Rinaldi's cares about more than cheese and Victory Chicken is that the Cubs don't trade Nico Horner. That's all he really cares about.
I think we all don't want Nico Horner traded.
I don't think they're gonna. I think they're going for it. But anyway, sorry, Tanny. I don't mean to put any Cubs in your Bears.
No, I'm okay with that, because I also believe they'd be selling their soul if they traded Nico Horner.
See? I don't think they're gonna do it. I think they're going for it. They're going for it this year. Keep your good players. Good thought. I like it.
Great piece by Sahad of Sharma on this.
Oh, yeah, he called it silly. Don't do something silly like trade Nico Horner. Contact is cool again. Thank you, Blue Jays. They're going to keep that man.
I mean, Alex Bregman also good with the contact.
That's what I'm saying. Just add him in.
Also power.
Add good players in and intangibles.
You needed an upgrade at third base.
Right, excuse me, waiter. Excuse me, waiter. Sorry. Hi, me again. Me again. Yeah.
You're right.
You brought back the Bears, but I just had some Cubs in there. Sorry. No, I'm sorry.
No, Tanny, you're right.
I don't know how this Cubs got into my Bears, sir.
No, you're right.